2 Corinthians 1, 18 through 20. As surely as God is trustworthy, oh yes he is, and faithful, oh yes he is, hallelujah. I remember just recently talking to the Tweeds and a good testimony they got. Faithful, faithful, amen. God is trustworthy and faithful and means what he says. People might say something just to kind of be politically correct, you know, but God means what he says. As surely as God is trustworthy and faithful and means what he says, our speech and message to you have not been, this is Paul talking about the message he preached to the Corinthian church, the message of the gospel has not been, has not been yes, that might mean no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has been preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him, it is always the divine yes. Okay, I'm getting happy already. It is always the divine yes. Now let's keep reading, get a little bit more understanding of what he's talking about. This is the Amplified. Next verse says, for as many as are the promises of God, there's many of them, they all find their yes answer in him, Christ. Amen. They all find their yes answer. If God said it, if God promised it, what's the answer?
Yes.
When you go to receive it, what's the answer?
Yes.
Not, you know, because people have said sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe, sometimes he says wait a while. You know, God's ways are mysterious. You never can tell what God's going to do. That's a lie. Anything he said in his word, when you come to make your claim on it, the answer is yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. They all find their yes answer in him, as many as are the promises of God. There's several ways you could look at that. We're not going to take time to get into all that this morning. But look at the next part. For this reason, this is the Amplified. For this reason, we also, now he's talking to us. We also utter the amen. The Amplified gives the definition then of what amen means. So be it. So be it. You know, we got to be careful sometimes. Somebody's preaching and people say, you know, the whole world's going to hell. Amen. We got to be careful where we put our amen, you know. We don't want the whole world to go to hell. And the whole world's not going to hell. But he said, after we read here that all the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. And they all find their yes answer in him. Then he says, for this reason, we also utter the amen, the so be it, to God through him. In other words, we say amen to all God said. We utter it through him in his person and by his agency to the glory of God. Amen. Notice two particular statements here, particularly in verse 19, that statement. In him, it is always the divine yes. God never says yes and then no, or no and then yes. It's always yes. Now, somebody can put a no on God's yes. But that was them saying no to God's yes, not God saying no. Does that make sense? And then that statement in verse 19. Then verse 20, for as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him. If everybody else is telling you no, go to him and get your yes. The lawyer might say no. The banker might say no. Somebody else might say no. The person you're doing the deal with might say no. But if God said yes, the answer is yes. Amen. So all God's blessings have a divine yes on them. God never puts a no on what he said in his word. He always has a divine yes. But notice that according to the way this verse is stated, that's not the end of it. We've got to add the amen. We've got to add the so be it. In other words, we've got to add our agreement. And, you know, that's why the Bible says in Mark 11:23, you'll have what you say. Yes. Not just what God said. You and I will have what we say. Amen. God can say yes and we say no. And you know what it'll be? It'll be no for us. Not because God put a no on it, but we didn't agree with it. We didn't agree with what he said. Amen? How many of you know that's what we're talking about? When we say adding the amen, when we say saying yes where God says yes and saying no where God says no, we're talking about agreeing with God. We're talking about, not fighting God. We're talking about not arguing with God. We're talking about, now this is whenever he speaks his word. We read his promises in his word. But what about when the Spirit of God is dealing with us to do something? Arguing with God is us not being in agreement with the divine yes. Remember we were talking about on last couple times I preached, we were out of a couple weeks, or we were out for two services. But remember we were talking about putting restraint on the devil by being doers of the word. There are certain things that just doing the word, it limits Satan on, because those promises, the things God said in his word, have conditions. They are the conditions for the fulfillment of what God said. And when we do what he said in his word, we're saying yes to the fulfillment side of it. We're agreeing. Like, let's just take an example. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We'll use an illustration. Sometimes we understand that better. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then, nothing, you never can tell what'll happen. No, all these things. The context is all these things, whatever you need to eat, whatever you need to drink. Isn't that right? Whatever natural, material, financial things you need in this life will be added unto you. Hallelujah. That's a yes to things being, that's God putting a yes on things being added to you and added to me. Hallelujah. God's not the great subtractor. He's the great adder. Actually, he's the great multiplier. He's not trying to take something from you. Amen. I mean, the church I grew up in, and if you serve God, you might go through your life with the top of your hat out and the bottom of your shoes out and the seat of your britches out, because he's going to keep you poor. That's the way I grew up. Thinking. That's the thinking they had. I noticed, though, they always worked real hard to get out of the will of God, to get out of poverty. But anyway, a lot of hypocrites. Well, anyway, I said it. Lord, forgive me. A lot of hypocritical statements made by people who say, well, I believe God wants us to be poor. Well, then stop going to your job and getting a paycheck. I mean, don't be a hypocrite. Get a burlap sack, wear it, live under a bridge, warm your hands by the fire, eat out of the trash can. You hypocrite, you. Stop working. Trying to get out of the will of God. Well, I don't believe it's God's will that all be well. Well, then how dare you go to the hospital and get out of the will of God? Huh? You hypocrite, you. No, we're just shucking the corn a little bit to show how ridiculous religion is. They don't really believe that. Just the devil sold them a lie and they keep repeating it. When he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add all these things unto you. That's God putting a yes on things being added to you. God does not put a no on things being added to you. There's a divine yes on it. But there are also conditions. Well, what is the condition? He said there, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now that's the big one. That's a big statement. You could go 17 different ways with seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we don't have time to get into all that this morning. But by putting that into practice, seeking first the kingdom of God, you are adding your agreement. You are saying amen to God adding all these things to you. That's what this verse said. We've got to add the amen, right? Yeah. We're adding the so be it. If God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, I'll add all these things to you. When we put the spiritual things first, when we put the plan of God first, when we obey God, we obey the word, we obey the kingdom, what the word says in that we do in the kingdom, then we're adding our agreement. We're saying, yes, I agree with things being added to me. Now, the devil will say, no, you serve God, you won't have anything. You'll be without. God'll make life hard and you won't enjoy life, and he'll make you marry somebody ugly, and you know what I'm talking about. You know, there's a lot of religion, just a lot of junk. Y'all were lovely quiet out there this morning. You know, make you miserable. Remember Jonah, the devil told Jonah some things about the plan. He said, go to Nineveh and preach and tell them judgment's coming if they don't repent. And he said, I don't think so. Nineveh was north. He went south. He got the boat going the other direction, right? And remember, he was eaten by that. He threw himself over because he knew he was in disobedience, and the fish came and swallowed him. And then remember, whenever the Bible said that he said to himself, he said, this is after it was all over. He said, they that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercies. When he said lying vanities, he's talking about what the devil says about what God told you to do. Because God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach, and the devil said, you don't want to do that. They're going to stone you. They're going to this. They're going to that. They're going to this. And you're going to look like a false prophet if it doesn't come to pass. You know, all these things the devil. And so he listened to these, lying vanities. It's a lie to say obeying God and doing God's plan, doing the word, following what God said to do will not work out and life will be worse off. It's a lie. It's a lying vanity. Yes, it's an empty lying vanity. Anybody still glad you came this morning? So, you know, others may put a no on things God said. Your own mind, the devil will tell your own mind, that'll never work. You know, you've been broke all your life. You've been struggling all your life. That's just the way your family is. You know, who makes you think you're anything different? And so forth and so on. It's not about natural family. It's about who does the word. I remember years ago we were preaching at a church. And the pastor's wife had just been diagnosed with cancer. And so we were good friends with these pastors, actually. And she said to us, she gave us the doctor's report and so forth. And I knew some of her family, and I knew that her dad, her uncle, her brother, I'm trying to remember who it was, had died of cancer in her family, on that, her side of the family. I knew all that. And we had preached at their church, and then we were driving to another church to minister. We weren't ministering. We were going to another church just to sit in some meetings with them. We were all going together. And we're talking and fellowshipping. My wife and I, if I remember right, were in the back seat. And I said, and the Spirit of God came up out of my spirit and started talking to me. And so I started saying to her what the Lord was saying to me. And that was, don't look at what happened. Don't let the devil tell you that what happened to your dad, your brother, your uncle, and all of that, and let the devil tell you what's going to happen to you. I said, I was just talking out of what the Lord was saying to me. I said, you were not the guard of their garden. Remember the Bible said, ye are God's garden? They got a harvest of what they got by receiving the thoughts and what the devil said and all the thoughts of death and you can't live through this and so forth and so on. They received all that, but you can put a different seed in your heart and have been, actually this lady had been, put different seed in your heart and get a different kind of harvest. It's not about genetics. It's not about family. It's not about something natural. It's about the word and who does it. Amen. Somebody said, that's hard. Well, the family can come in too. They can come into the word. Amen. And she received that and lived many years. Praise the Lord. I said, hallelujah. She was healed of that and lived many years. Glory to God. Are you out there? So somebody else can put a no on what God said. But you just keep agreeing with God. You just keep saying, it is so. It is so. So be it. It is so. What God said is so about me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That'll keep you in the flow of this divine yes. Amen. So all these things have a yes on them, but we've got to add our agreement. Now, agreement is more, and this is what I want to spend the rest of the service on this morning. Agreement is more than just words that we say. You know, like Mark 11:23, that's certainly agreement. What we say is agreement. If we say what God said, that's agreement. But agreement is more than that. Agreement is also obedience. Amen. Obedience to do what God wants us to do. Will you just humor me? If you don't like this morning, will you humor me and say amen anyhow? Your flesh might not like it, but your spirit man wants to get real answers this morning. Hallelujah. Now, when it comes to obedience, let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 1. This was the after King Saul, the Old Testament King Saul. God had chosen Saul. He had to be king, you remember. He had, and Saul at that time was very humble, very remember, he was he didn't think more highly of himself. He was a more of a contract kind of a person. And God called him and chose him and raised him up to be king. And remember, he was hiding in the stuff. They had to go find him. And they anointed him, and God began to use him. And then he began to get a little too big for his britches. Anybody know what that term means? Did you grow up in my mama's home? Yeah, most mamas have that saying. And he got arrogant. He could no longer or would no longer respond to direction. And the Bible talks about some things about when he, and if you read the whole, we're not reading this verse, but if you read there in the 15th chapter, God said, made this statement through Saul, when thou wast little in thy sight, God raised you up. Remember that? But now, basically, you're too big for your britches and God can't use you anymore. Amen. And then God had said some things about the kingdom being taken from him. And then 1 Samuel 16:1, where I had you turn, Samuel was praying for. Samuel was like Saul's spiritual father. Samuel was the prophet in that day, and he was praying for Saul. And look where it says here, 1 Samuel 16:1. The Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" Now he's praying and crying out to God for Saul because God had rejected him. "Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel." Wait. God rejected him. I thought there was a point just a few verses earlier that God had chosen him. Was there not? Didn't God say he's the one? Yeah, he did. I'll answer that for you. For those of you that aren't Bible scholars, he said, yes, he's the one. He's my chosen. He's the one I want to use. But now, something's changed. "How long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" Well, that was different than it had been. God had chosen him. But look at what he said. "Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." So God had chosen Saul at one point, hadn't he? In other words, and God had, I mean, excuse me, God had chosen Saul, and Saul had said, "Yes, I'll obey you. I'll do it. I'll be king. I'll do that." And he wasn't haughty about it. He wasn't high minded about it. He didn't think, "Looky, look who I am." He was wanting to be used of God. He was wanting to serve the Lord in the capacity that the Lord had him to fill, and so forth. He was a very, if you read the whole story, he was a very incapable man. He did not have the ability to be king, because remember, God had said to him, there's a company of prophets coming down off the hill, and you join yourself to them, and the spirit of what's on them is going to get on you. Why? To equip him to be who he needed to be. That's like a lot of us. A lot of us don't have what it takes to be who we're called to be. You know, God doesn't call the sufficient. He makes sufficient whom He calls. Because he really needs us. I'm getting somewhere. Somebody say, what's this got to do with me? Just hold on. He needs us to know. He can work with people better who know they can't do it on their own. Remember Moses? God called Moses and he said, God, you can't use me. I stutter. And he's supposed to stand before the leader of the known world and say, let my people go. How's that going to work? That ain't going to work. He didn't call Moses because he was sufficient. The New Testament, Paul said this. He said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Somebody said, well, why would God pick me? Probably because you can't do it. That's probably why. So you'll learn to depend on Him. You got to learn, I can't do it, but greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God had chosen Saul. He was a very incapable man and also very small in his own sight. You know what that means? That basically means he didn't think more highly of himself than he ought to think. He wasn't a proud man, but he turned proud. How many of you know people change? They can. They don't always have to. But and so God had chosen Saul, and Saul had said yes, but through disobedience. Remember I said there's more to adding our agreement to what God's plan is and His promises and all His blessings. There's more to it than just making confessions. There's more to it. What do we say? There's more to it. What is that more? Obedience is a big deal to walk in all that God has for us. In other words, to add the obedience is us adding our agreement to the divine yes. Let's just take the illustration we use about seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, I can't do that. You know, I got too much going. Whatever seek ye first means a lot of different things. It means put spiritual things before natural things is one thing it means. So a person could say, well, I don't have the time to put spiritual things first. I got too many things going. I can't get to church. I can't study and read my Bible. I can't take time to pray. And when church time comes, seems like always something comes up. Seek ye first. Amen. Put spiritual things first. Amen. 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 And obedience to that, whatever obedience means to you right now, whatever obedience to seek ye first the kingdom. This is just an illustration. You could use this for about anything God promised with, that has a condition on it in the Word. Anything He says, putting that, doing that, in other words, being obedient to it. If it's seek first the kingdom, being obedient to put the kingdom first. Not just giving lip service to it, but actually doing it. Actually doing it. Remember the Bible said the willing and the obedient. Eat to go to the land. The willingness is the heart attitude, but God's looking for more than just willingness. He's looking for the carrying out of the actions of doing it.
Amen.
We can say, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that. Well, you could argue whether that's a willingness or not, but it's certainly not obedience. You got to be careful about putting things off. Amen. So, When Saul was no longer responsive to the direction given by the Spirit through Samuel and was too big for his britches and thought, well, I know better and so forth and so on. The Bible said, God said to Samuel, I have rejected him. Somebody said, God changed. No. Saul changed. I said, Saul changed. Amen. There was a yes on him being king still, but Saul didn't add his agreement to it by being disobedient. We making any progress in this service? And so Saul changed the yes to a no. God didn't change the yes to a no. Another story that you can think of along this line. Let me say this. In the earth, God's plan moves forward with those who say yes to his plan. Don't miss that this morning. I want you to get that. In the earth, God's plan moves forward with those who say yes to what he's dealing with them about.
Amen.
Amen. And those who say yes become God's plan. Those who God taps on the shoulder says, I want you to do this. I'm not just talking about the call to ministry. I'm talking about anything in the Word. I want you to start putting church services before your job.
All right.
Come on.
You know, I want you to begin honoring the word which says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You know, you're here, so I'm preaching to the choir. Don't think I'm beating up, you know. It's all those people out there. That's who I'm talking about. I'm just kidding. But whatever it is, you could take anything in the word, any condition, any word, any truth, any promise, any word that God gives that has a condition on it, and apply it to what I'm talking about.
Yes,
when God taps you and says, I want you to do this, you are God's plan. He wants to use you. When we say no, listen to me, God moves on our agreement, and his plan moves forward with our agreement. If we say no, now God will give us some time to get that right sometimes, but there'll come a time when God will say, all right, you are no longer my plan. I'm moving on to somebody who says yes. Amen. I'm not saying he'll do that overnight. See, how many of you he gives us space to get these things right, space to repent, especially if we don't know any better. But as time passes and we know what to do, God's dealt with us what to do, and he's dealt with us what to do, and he's dealt with us again, and in prayer it came up again, and it comes up all the time now, and it's just constantly, we know it, but we're not doing it. There can come a time God will say, all right, my spirit will not always strive with man. I'm going on to somebody that'll say yes. And you might say, well, whew, that's a relief.
No.
God let me alone. No. No.
Nope.
You'll give an account.
Yes, we will.
Amen. Give an account.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Well, thank you for all your enthusiasm. The plan, we all have plans for our life. I know I was a teenager, started making plans for my life. I had my plans. Oh, yes, sir. Don't you mess them up either. Don't you get in the way. I don't want anybody getting in the way. I got plans. No, sir. This is what I want to do. And I got this planned out and that planned out. Except there's something started, you know, something started calling to my heart about the call of God that I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the call that had come when I was about 8 years old, 10 years old, something like that. Probably more like 8 years old. That call came rushing back in.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with what I said to you back there when you were 8 years old? Well, in order to put that, to drown that out, I turned to rebellion, trying to drown that out. You remember, I don't know if he said it here, but you might, some of you that have heard Randall Greer preach, he said, because he was in prison for murder, remember? He says that publicly. I'm not putting him down. He, thank God he's redeemed. But he said, he in prison for murder, he said he discovered there were a lot of people in there. An extra high percentage of people in prison, men in prison, particularly men, who were called to the ministry. And he said he discovered why. It was because when they didn't want to say yes to that call, they didn't want to respond to that call, in order to try to drown it all out, they would sin harder and rebel harder. And it got him into more and more trouble. And that's what put him in prison. They're saying no. Well, how'd that work out for him? Remember Paul, God, his name was Saul, on the road to Damascus in the New Testament. He said, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody said, no, it's hard to serve God. No. What's hard, the Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. That's what's hard. You want to get in the easy flow? Just keep saying yes. Maybe your mind doesn't understand it all. And maybe your mind doesn't even know where this agreement, this yes is going to take you. Hey, we're on for a ride. Where are we going? Your mind might not know. But just know, he's got your best interest at heart. And payday always comes. It might not come on every Friday, but payday always comes. Oh, I'm talking to some folk. Don't kick, don't buck, don't match wits with God. Don't act like you know better. I got a news flash for you this morning. You don't know better. Father knows best. He knows exactly where the good life is. Remember Ephesians, and what is that? Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. Taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time, living the good life. I'll tell you, broke days aren't the good life. Sick days aren't the good life. God's got a good life. But it happens as we say, yes. Yes. I want you to do this. Oh, glad to do it. Glad to do it. Yes. The flesh says we don't want to, and the mind says, I don't know where that's going to take me. We say, shut up. Yes, yes, yes. Listen, where you're going, if you've got it all figured out where you're going, let me assure you, you are not following God's plan. Because he won't tell you everything all. He won't sit you down at 17 years old with his calendar and say, all right, by the time you're 21, this is what you're going to be doing. By the time you're 25, he's not going to do that. It's a faith walk.
Amen.
Just the way God is. He likes faith. He's going to require you to walk by it. It pleases him that when you don't understand what me obeying, what me saying yes to this means, when you don't understand it, you can trust him and say, it pleases him when you can trust him and say, I don't know where this is going to take me, but I know the one who's taken me there, and he's good.
Yes, he is.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And all the blessings of God are in that yes.
Yes.
In that agreement.
Hallelujah.
A lot of folk, they think, well, you know, I'm just not making enough confessions. Well, whatever the Lord's saying to you, but how about this area right here? Faith works. God never gave us faith to, remedy all the effects of disobedience. He gave us faith to obey and shut the door to the devil to where he can't get to us. Faith works a whole lot better in obedience than it does in disobedience. Thank God we can repent. If we've been in disobedience, we can repent. We can get it right, and we can use our faith, and we can get things cleaned up that the devil got in and messed up. But listen, it's a whole lot better, and we'll progress a whole lot better in the plan for our lives if we won't use our faith that way, but just use our faith to keep saying yes.
Yes. Amen.
I'm preaching real good this morning, whether you're saying amen or not. So Saul said yes, and then he changed it and said no. We've seen people do that. Amen. And what are we supposed to do? Now don't talk, don't look at me like I'm being cold. Just look at what God told Samuel to do. God said to Samuel, how long are you going to keep mourning for him, seeing I've rejected him? He said, go fill your horn with oil. That's the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send you to somebody as a replacement. Oh, hallelujah. You and I might have to learn to do what God told Samuel to do. Stop crying over those who said no. Come on now. Amen. When somebody we even love, somebody dear, says no to God's plan, that doesn't mean we say no to God's plan. And that doesn't mean we sit around and cry about it. We've got to do what God told Samuel here and get full of joy and full of the Holy Ghost and go anoint somebody to take their place. Because God's plan is going to get done on the earth.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will.
Somebody says, that's not my plan, like I was as a teenager. That's not my plan. I got blah, blah, blah. Don't talk to me, God. And boy, I've been there two times in my life where I wasn't wanting to hear what, well, I'm talking about big times. There's been other times and smaller things. I'm talking about the plan, big things like the plan, that I didn't want to do what he said. And both times things started going south quick. You know what I mean? South? Quick. Tell your neighbor quick. And somebody said, God did that to teach you. No, I opened the door to the devil. And I had to learn the hard way. You've never done that. You all sanctimonious sitting up in here, been in church all your life and always said yes immediately. But pastors had to work out his salvation a few times, you know. Hallelujah. God doesn't always lead us to do what the flesh wants to do. I'm not doing anything in my life I had planned. We've all got, listen, let's just get a hold of this. We've all got our plans, but God has a plan. An end time plan, and he's looking for laborers. He's looking for some people to do some things. He doesn't do it by himself. We're laborers together with God. He needs people who say yes. They crucify the flesh. What their plans? They put their plans on the altar. You know what I mean by on the altar? Oh, Pastor, that's old traditional stuff. No, that's Bible. Putting things on the altar is Bible. It's called consecration. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Good old-fashioned consecration. Not my will, but thy will be done. It'll get you a long ways down the road. All the people trying to get all the blessings with their faith and disobedience, you'll pass them up. You won't even see them in your dust. Just keep saying yes to the plan, yes to the plan. Your faith will work so much better than theirs. Amen. So you can see here where, in King Saul's case, God didn't change his mind. Saul put a no on God's yes. And God's plan moves forward with the ones who say yes. God said to Saul, you're my choice. Saul said yes. He changed, said no. God said, all right, I'm going to find the next person who says yes. He went down to David's, Jesse's house, David's house, and anointed David. And David said yes. Yep. But here's the thing. David kept saying yes his whole life. Yes. This is going to be something you're not going to do one time. Yes is going to be something you do for the rest of your life. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want you to turn the TV off. I want you to fast the internet or something like that. I want you to take some time to pray. I got some things I want to talk to you about. Yes, Lord. Amen. Well, God doesn't talk to me about things like that. Let me rephrase that for you. You're not listening. He's talking to me about things like this all the time. I'm always getting checked. Well, that's because you're the preacher, and you're the what? Yeah? The Lord said to me one time, this era will come to pass through obedient, consecrated, and believing people. He didn't say preachers. He said people. Poke your neighbor and say, I know you, you're a people. Hallelujah. God needs all hands on deck. Well, I remember whenever I grew up on the farm, I was, I clean up nice, but I'm a farm boy at heart. I was telling Pastor Debbie the other day, I said, we were driving down the road. Anyway, I won't get into all of it, but I said, we're unique. She said, what do you mean? I said, we like luxury, rich stuff, but we like the country. You know, we like the woods. I like to be alone 3 days and not grow my, or not shave my beard. You know what I'm talking about? But you put us in a Louis Vuitton store, we're like, hey, yeah, I'll take one of those. I said, we're probably some people don't know how to figure us out. But anyway, I figured God's in both of them. Why did I get on that? I don't know how I got on that. But anyway, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you might be unique too, you know. But this era is coming to pass through consecrated, this is the way he said it, obedient, consecrated, and believing people. When I was I know how I got on that. Now, I grew up on the farm. You know, I clean up nice, but I'm just a country boy. Amen. Finally, God taught me to preach. And so, I knew when harvest time came, don't ask for weekends off to go do something with my friends. Because when harvest time comes, all hands on deck. All day and half the night. You know what I mean? Just, it's everything's about getting the harvest in. Well, guess what season we're in? God, there's a call. There's a call going out. He's looking for some people. I'm thinking of, I don't have the reference. I got it here somewhere. I think it's Ezekiel 22. There were certain things happening in the land, and God said, I sought for a man. That stands out to me. I hear those words. I sought for a man. In fact, sometimes I hear that in my heart. I'm looking for people. I'm looking for some people. His eyes are running to and fro. Looking for somebody. He's looking to use some folks. Well, you say, I'm not called to the ministry. I didn't say anything about fivefold. It might be some here. I know some are called the fivefold. But how about just some good, faithful church folk that are doers of the word, that have their life rather than needing to be constantly, let me put it this way, rather than constantly being a liability. I'm not trying to say that mean. I just mean you're the one always needing something. Grow up to where you have something that you're always supplying. Come on now. That's called growing up. Just growing up spiritually. Having faith to deal with stuff on your own. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
that's a supply.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So God's looking. He's looking for some folk. His eyes are running to and fro. He's looking for end time laborers. Remember, Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. He's not just talking about, preachers. He's talking about people to pray. In fact, that's the next thing he said, pray. You can labor in this end time by prayer. You can labor in helps ministry. You can labor in giving. You can labor in going. You can labor, preaching and teaching. You can labor by sharing Jesus with people over the back fence of your yard, backyard. Praise the Lord. You can labor, God calls some to, minister minister in the area of government. Amen. God needs some sound-minded people in government right now. It's more than just being saved. It's having your mind renewed and you got a sound mind to think right about stuff. Anyway, let's look at another case. This is Isaiah chapter number 38. The story of Hezekiah. Amen. Well, before I go there, turn to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. We'll get to 38, I think. If you don't take me off track. Laugh. It was supposed to be funny. Isaiah 6:8. God shows Isaiah a vision. He said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Notice that voice must echo. He's seeing a vision. If you read the whole vision, he's seeing the throne room. He's so seeing the glory of God in the throne room. He's seeing God's train filling the temple, so forth. And this voice comes out of the throne. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? So that voice must have gone out all through heaven, and maybe even through earth. Probably through earth. Then said I, here am I, send me. Then you read, and God says, all right, here's what you're going to do. Yeah. Notice the message, the call, went out over the many. Yeah. Yeah. But who was chosen? The one that said yes. Huh? Now, I'm not saying everybody's fivefold. I'm not saying that at all. There is a call. Remember, Ezekiel 22. I'm looking for a man. not just preachers, people to pray. If you read that account, it was somebody to pray. And I'm talking about Ezekiel 22. I'm looking for somebody to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. You know, whenever you get off work and you want to do your favorite thing and you got that unction to go pray, and you say no, or we say no, I've said no. You know, I got something I want to do, you know. And what that is us not agreeing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
There have been many times, I'm thinking of a situation just happened recently, actually. I needed to get ready for a service. How many of you know ministers ought not just, you know, walk off the golf course, pull a set of notes out of the file and go preach? They ought to pray, seek God, and be in the presence of God, get the mind of God, get quiet where the voices of others are quiet down and all you're hearing is the voice of God, so forth and so on. But anyway, I live that. There's been a few times I couldn't do that. And God was merciful, you know. I remember one time I was preaching at the church one time. I got in real late. I mean, the plane was delayed for hours, and I was in real late. And I had to get ready. I had to go to the hotel, change clothes, get in the car with the pastor, and go to the church. And I'm sitting back there, and the pastor's one of those chatty pastors. And I'm thinking, I'm humoring him. I'm saying, yeah, that's right. And, you know, I'm trying to talk to him, but I'm saying, in my mind, I'm thinking, just be quiet. I want to pray. Can you just let me make this back seat a prayer closet? Because there's another guy in the front seat. Yeah. Yeah, and but you know, no.
Yeah.
I said, God, you know it wasn't because of me that I didn't have time to get quiet in this.
Yeah.
Help me. And boy, I preached the best sermon I preached for a long time, you know. I know when it's good and I know when it's not. Don't you dare say you do too. Don't you dare. No, but I was in a situation where I needed to get ready, and the Lord, I'm trying to get my mind quiet, trying to just listen to the Lord and get ready for this service. And the Lord kept prompting me. I needed to go call somebody. And I knew if I call them, it's going to be a long conversation. I was like, Lord, you know. But I kept getting prompted. I said, Lord, all right. And I went and called him, and it was a long conversation. But in that conversation, something was said that I knew. And when it was said, the whole sermon that I was to preach just went like this. It's like God unrolled it like a scroll in front of me, and I knew every point I needed to preach.
Praise God.
I don't know. But what I'm saying is, when you obey, God will take care of everything else. God will take care of everything else. That's not the way I normally live. I get quiet and everything, but you know, there's some things that we think have to be a certain way, whenever really the way it needs to be is we just obey. That's all free. I don't even know where that came from. Anyway, who will I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. So the call went out over the many. God's looking for some laborers. He's looking for somebody that they have their plan, but they're willing to say, God has a plan, and he has a plan, and I have a part in it, and I've got something to do for God, and I'll say yes.
Yes.
I've said yes to a number of things that after I got into it, the Lord let me know, you weren't the first one. You weren't my first choice. But because they said no, they are not my choice. You are now my first choice.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We don't know. I'm not preaching this as doctrine, but I'll just say it. We don't know. We don't know if Mary was the first one an angel appeared to or God dealt with about, you know, thou art highly favored among women, and, you know, to have to receive the seed of the Messiah into her womb. We don't know. She might not have been the first one. You ever thought about that? She might not have been the first one. Not saying that she was or that she wasn't, but why don't we have record? If there was anybody else, why don't we have record? Because when people say no, they're not a part of the plan. God moves with who says yes. All right, Isaiah, we got to wrap this up. Isaiah said, who will go for us and so forth? Here am I, send me. So many are, the Bible says many are called. Isn't that right? Many. Does many mean many? Is it just, you know, we've got a church, a few hundred, many means maybe two? Huh? No, that wouldn't be many, would it? Many would mean just many of us. Many of us. God's spoken to us. So many are called, the Bible said, but few are chosen. Here's the question. Who gets chosen? Those that say yes. And then obey. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Not only are they chosen for God to use, they are admitted into the blessings that are only accessible by that obedience. When we say yes to being used, we're also saying yes to all the blessings that are connected to that. Ooh, suki, suki. Hallelujah. And so, because Isaiah here, remember Isaiah also was the one just a few chapters earlier, Isaiah 1:19, the willing and obedient eat the good of the land. Isn't that right? So those that are saying yes to God's plan, they're saying yes to being used. Just remember this. If you keep saying yes, God can keep using you. If you keep saying no, there's always somebody else. You know, the whole kingdom's not built on me, not built on you. It's built on divine agreement. Whoever. And listen, somebody said, boy, they're too valuable. They're too valuable. And they said, no. God's, listen, there's nobody that God can't use if they say yes. Amen. So don't ever forget that. As long as you keep saying yes, God can keep using you. If you start saying no, there's always somebody else. I don't want to be somebody that God can't use. How about you? So there's many things God's already said yes to our lives about, but we have to add our agreement. It doesn't matter that he said yes. Okay, Isaiah 38. I've been trying to get there. Let's wrap this up. Isaiah 38 is the story. If you read the whole chapter, you can read the whole chapter gives the account of Hezekiah's healing. The Old Testament king Hezekiah, he had been sick and, the Bible said God sent, if you read the chapter, you can see all this. God sent, this is Isaiah 38. God sent the prophet Isaiah to Hezekiah and said, set your house in order, for you're going to die. And if you read the whole account, which, boy, it would be much more, we would be much more effective in preaching this if we read the whole account. We'll just point out a few things. But if you read the whole account, you'll find that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. You remember that? And he prayed. And if you read that prayer very carefully, there's things in there that you can read right by if you don't if you don't read it carefully. Like, for example, Isaiah 38, verse number 20, it says, God was ready to save me. Yeah. Yeah. Isaiah 38, we're reading that. Is it verse 20? Did I get the right verse there? God was ready. In other words, the whole time. Now, listen. God came and told the prophet to tell him, set your house in order, you're going to die. Somebody said, well, then that's God's will. You don't know God. You don't know God. Basically, God was sending the prophet saying, under the circumstances. Because Isaiah said, the Lord was ready to save me. You might say, well, I don't agree that he was. Well, just look at what happened. Hezekiah made some adjustments, and the prophet didn't even get out of the courtyard. God sent him back and said, tell him I've seen his tears. I've heard his prayer. I'm going to add, 15 years. Was God ready to do that the whole time? The fact that he didn't even get out of the courtyard.
Come on. Yeah.
Just because Isaiah, if you read Hezekiah's prayer, he said he put all my sin behind his back. In other words, in that prayer, Hezekiah had made he repented of some things. Some disobedience. We don't know. We don't have record of what it was. Isn't that right? Somebody said God changed his mind. No. Hezekiah took his no off of God's yes. The answer was yes the whole time. Yes. Are you learning anything? Yes. People say, well, I don't know what happened. God, this, that situation, this person had that problem. And so, well, the answer was, heaven's answer the whole time was yes. Yeah. I mean, to the blessings rather than what they're experiencing. Yes. To you not having to deal with that. Now, I can't always change other people's no, but I can change mine. Isn't that the truth?
Yes,
If we could change everybody's no, then we'd get saved for everybody. This person doesn't want to get saved. Father, I'm going to say yes for them. I'm going to pray the prayer for them. You can't do that. I mean, how many of you know the way God sets things up? It's over there in the book of Revelation. It's real close to the end of the book of Revelation. Whosoever wills, let him come. That's the way God sets it up. Whoever says yes to my offer. Come on now. That's just the way God rolls. God has a will, but he also has made us free moral agents. He's given us the power of choice. We can say yes. We can say no. I said, how long ago was it? I said in a service, I just said it by inspiration. You don't ever want to hear God say, never mind. You might say, whew, I'm off of the hook. No, you don't know God. When he says, never mind. Look at what was happening to King Saul when God said, never mind. Actually did happen. He was dead within a couple of chapters. Doesn't mean God did it.
No, sir.
Saul did it.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Come on.
Hallelujah. Y'all glad you came this morning? I had other things I had in mind to preach, but the Lord kept dealing with me about this one. So take it up with him. Don't get mad at me. Take it up with him. The Lord, did you see that verse, Isaiah 38:20? The Lord was ready to save me. In other words, the whole time, even when God said you're going to die, he was there the whole time, ready for Hezekiah to adjust that so that he could save him from dying. Isn't that an amazing, oh man, you need to chew on that. Whatever you've been going through, the answer, that's not God putting you through all that. It's just some area of us needing to agree with God. Some area of starting to say no to disobedience and yes to obedience. Hallelujah. So it was Hezekiah who had shut the door on God's yes by his actions. Look at the 17th verse. Let's just wrap this up here. Isaiah 38, verse number 17. I think this is what I referred to. Isaiah 38, verse number 17. He said, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sin behind my back. There was something that was blocking God's yes. Now, every person, you know, without a renewed mind, every person that hears that might take it differently, and some could take it in condemnation, like, you know, I've got some great sin. It's not always this. This is just one case. If there is some disobedience, you know it. Well, I just don't know. Well, you're praying and it keeps popping up. Lord, show me what it is. It keeps popping up. Lord, you push it back down. Lord, I mean, if you know, we know. But we can see here that there was things that he had to get removed out of that, remove that from that divine yes. So what do we know? God's plan moves with people that say yes. Everybody say it out loud. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. That has to be maintained. That yes has to be maintained. Isn't that right? And so saying yes to God's will keep us usable. It'll keep us in the place where God will keep adding and take us into the next step of his plan. Sometimes people don't know what they're missing because they said no back here. Somebody said, well, God ought to show us and be easier to say yes. That wouldn't be faith. Wouldn't be faith. You got to trust him. I don't like it that way. Well, don't talk to me. I didn't set it up that way. God won't force anybody to do anything against their will. Amen. To agree, let's wrap this up. To agree with God is to cease to struggle with what he said. Amen. To cease to struggle with what he said. It means to not accept the devil's no. Because the devil will say sometimes, you can't do that. You might as well just give up right now. You can't do that. Don't accept the devil's no where God put a yes. Don't accept the devil's doubt, fear, or unbelief. Amen. And don't accept the devil's unwillingness. Make that verse in 1 John a part of your confession all the time. His commandments are not grievous. Because the devil will try to, when God directs you to do something, the devil will try to bring a heaviness on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't want to do that. I just, that's going to make me miserable. You know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me in that sanctimonious tone of voice. You know what I'm talking about. He wants to put a heaviness on you and make the will of God grievous. His commandments are not grievous. It's us that turns them grievous by unwillingness. Boy, I wish he'd quit preaching. I'm almost done. Don't. You're believing and it's coming to pass. Just keep on believing. Amen. Hallelujah. But I don't know what he's saying to me. Just start with the word. Just start with what the Bible already says. That'll get you in the flow of agreement with God. And then as you start practicing that, he'll start talking to you about the specifics. Oh, glory. There's a good nugget for us right there. Hallelujah. Are you glad you came this morning? Hallelujah. So those specifics will come. And you may as well just write down Job 22:21 because I'm out of time. But in the Amplified, Job 22:21, it says, agree with God. Show yourself to be conformed to his will. And then great good. Great, not just a little bit of good. Great good. Good that you got to stop talking about because everybody's going to wonder, what are you real Robin Banks or what are you? Come on now. Great good. Great good. We'll struggle to get to you. No, it'll just come. In obedience, things just start coming. Just start coming. I know Pastor Nancy made a statement. We were just out with her. You can stand with me to your feet. We were out with her at her birthday party, her big 60th birthday party. And they gave her, I think the check was $67,000, different churches. And that wasn't even all of it. If you add it all up, it's way over that. Because we gave some here that wasn't in that check. And other churches gave it more directly. And she got up and said, whoa. She said, all I got to say is it just pays to keep obeying God. That's just all I got to say. And that's the same testimony all of us should have. It might look at the beginning when God says do something, it might look like it's going to cost you something. But just know in the long run, it never costs to obey God. In the long run, it pays. It might not show up by the end of the week, but it will show up. Glory to God. Poke your neighbor and say, all I know, it just pays to keep on obeying God and keep on being faithful. Keep on saying yes.
Keep on saying yes.
And that includes saying no to the flesh, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Let me just encourage somebody. Sometimes people say, well, I want to get the word in me, but I'm not a reader. Or, you know, I want to get the word in me, but I can't pay attention to audios or something like that. I don't think God said, oh, you're exempt from Joshua 1:8 because you're ADD or you don't like to read. Can you just do Pastor Davey and I a favor? Don't let us hear that statement again. Believe God. The Bible says, Proverbs 4, my son, attend to my word. And you need to start making a confession, something like this. God wouldn't have me do so or ask me to do something that I can't do. God can heal ADD. He can teach you to pay attention. See, that's one of the conditions. That's one of the obedience things we're talking about. Glory to God. Pastor, turn to your neighbor and say, he must have been preaching to somebody behind us this morning. They're just... Everybody on the back row, there, we got them this morning. Lift your hands up. Father, we are so grateful for the truths of your word. Thank you for what you have planned for all of us. We add our agreement to it. We raise our hands in surrender and submission in honor to your direction. And we say yes to all that you said in your word. As we obey it, As we walk in the light of it, I thank you. You take us into all the blessings of God. And you're able to use us. We say out loud, Father, here we are. Use us. Make us a blessing. You're looking for laborers. We say yes to all that you want us to do. Hallelujah. Therefore, we're going from glory to glory, more and more usable, and more and more of the blessings of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Give God a shout this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Here's what I've had to learn to do. I've seen this many, many times. You'll have to learn to do it if you haven't already. And that is when others that you love are walking beside you and they just start not wanting to go on. They don't have the convictions that you have and the commitment that you have and the consecration. They start getting lax and they start, you know, yielding more to the flesh and letting thoughts in that don't belong to them, that'll make the obedience hard. And they start, you know, you want to keep on running and they start slacking behind, and you love them and you want them to come along. You got to, you know, and you're praying for them. You love them. You want them to come along. But if they choose to say no, you got to get a hold of yourself, get a hold of your emotions. I'm talking to somebody and say, listen, if I was at a party and they started drinking strychnine and they offered me strychnine, I'm not going to join them just because they're drinking it. I'm going to live. I'm going to live and not die. I'm going on with the plan of God. You love them, but you can't stay loyal to them as far as in their disobedience. You have to stay loyal to the one who keeps prompting you and the one who's called you. Amen? And let me tell you something. God will bring you some more Holy Ghost-filled faith friends. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.